The blue and green earth, capped by strands of white clouds, revolves in space. Reflections of the sun bathe the oceans. The golden lights of cities shine on the continents. Band of silver letters with gold trim scrolls across the equator. Universal, a Comcast company. The earth rests among stars and drifting gas clouds. The letters X, Y, and Z separate as they become opaque. XYZ Films. Against the backdrop of woodland, a 30-something black woman shakes as mascara-tinted tears roll down her cheeks. She wears a beanie. In the grass in front of her, pigeons feed in a cluster. The woman faces out across the city of low, pale buildings that reside within a deep bowl formed by hills. In her right hand, she caresses a smooth, dappled stone. The woman turns abruptly. She tips back her head and wipes her cheeks with her hand. Gathering her purse from the wall beside her, she stands. She trudges downhill toward a winding footpath. In delicate white lettering over black, the wasp. Deep frames contain specimens of various insects, one large with orange wings. They comprise a gallery wall. The dark blue wall rises up a home's staircase. The view spins over a banister to face the open door of a kitchen. It moves through the door toward a large chrome fridge and a houseplant. A white Belfast sink sits before a window open to a sunlit yard. At the window, a tiny insect fidgets against the glass. A glass traps the wasp. The woman crouches to watch it, resting her arms on the counter. Dead insects litter the sill behind it. Her jaw clenches as she quickly stands and turns.
Have you called the guy about the wasp nest yet?
She looks up the stairs.
Simon?
A door opens at the top.
What?
The wasp nest. Have you called?
I will.
Still loads of the bloody things.
I'll have him come around Monday.
Make sure I'm around then, shall I?
The woman drops onto a couch and pulls out her phone. Behind her, the white Simon pads down the stairs. The woman stares at a notification that reads, "Fertile window ends soon."
Club meeting tonight, important, I'm there.
Don't wait up.
The woman turns her head slightly. Simon holds an overnight bag.
Have you picked up the wine order for tomorrow night?
Not yet.
I need this dinner to go well, Heather.
I know.
Simon exits by the front door. Heather continues to stare out of a high bay window. At a kitchen island, Heather sits staring at a tall glass of red wine she drinks. Her gaze lowers with the wine glass. She looks at the sink, where the wasp still rattles around in the glass. She charges to the glass, flipping it over to squash the wasp with the base. She pushes it onto the sill with the other dead wasps. In sunlight, two schoolgirls stand over the body of a pigeon.
Probably a fox got it.
The black girl stares down with her white schoolmate. At home, Heather continues to stare downward. Upstairs, she exits a bathroom in her pajamas. In a lamp-lit bedroom, she crosses to the dressing table. She rubs cream into her face, her hands lingering over her mouth. In the woods, young Heather glances toward her friend.
I need a rock.
They turn to search in the leaves around the base of a large tree. The blonde girl crouches. She lifts a large rock with a flat side. At the dressing table, Heather grabs cotton pads and wipes her lips. Later, she sleeps. Simon lies down in his clothes beside her. Heather's head rolls to face upward. Simon lies on top of the covers. The view moves toward Heather's face in the gloom. Her eyes open. The blonde girl carries the rock to the pigeon as young Heather watches.
Carla.
Carla kneels.
What are you going to do?
Carla raises the rock. The pigeon's wing quivers.
Put it out of its misery.
She swings it downward. Daytime, Heather stares blankly. She watches through the living room window as Simon walks down a path. As he reaches the street, he lifts his phone. He turns and walks up the sidewalk. Heather's jaw clenches. She whips around, striding past the couch where she grabs her laptop. She sits at a dining table. The screen displays a social media account for Carla Jackson. Heather's hands tremble over the keys, and she squeezes them into fists. She snaps the laptop shut. On the street, Heather follows the sidewalk downhill, carrying shopping bags. She stops before a stone semi-detached house as a girl sets her bike down nearby.
Hi!
Oh, hello.
The smooth stone drops.
Oh, thanks, Ruby.
What is that?
It's a worry stone. See? It's comforting.
What are you worrying about?
Heather pockets it.
Nothing.
She smiles.
Okay. Bye.
Ruby backs away toward her bike.
You going out on your own?
Going to my mate's.
You be careful, okay?
Yeah, I will.
Your mum know you're going?
Yeah.
That's good.
Heather watches Ruby wheel her bike along the curb. She stoops to grab her shopping bags, then pushes through a gate. Colorful foods and dishes end on platters cover a crisp, striped tablecloth. Amongst macaroons and a pavlova, hands carefully rotate a glass cake stand on which amuse-bouches have been meticulously arranged. Heather crouches to keep the stand in her eyeline. She stands and looks across the table. Her eyes shift. She turns to look back towards the living room. She walks down two steps into the living room and around to the open door of the kitchen. She slows on the tiles, staring up toward the ceiling. She faces a smoke alarm. Heather's gaze remains locked on the object. In the evening, Heather wears a black dress and stares up at the smoke alarm. A woman bursts into the kitchen behind her.
Oh, I was just coming for more wine.
Fridge.
Cool.
Heather does not turn as the woman opens the fridge behind her.
Someone order more wine!
A wasp flies out of the smoke alarm and toward the window. Heather bares her teeth and storms to grab a footstool. She climbs the two steps in her black high heels. She reaches for the plastic body of the smoke alarm, peering up through a circular hole. She tries to turn the body. She drops down, gripping her hand. Heather shakes as she lifts the hand to her eyes, then snatches a toolbox from beneath the island. She pulls out a hammer. two hands wrapped tightly around its handle, she steps onto the stool. She hits the ceiling plaster to one side of the alarm, making a hole. The body of the alarm falls. Heather keeps swinging to expand the hole, then turns the hammer to reach the claw end through. Simon enters.
What the fuck are you doing?
A ball-shaped nest tumbles out. It shatters on the floor, scattering wasps. Simon lifts her down off the stool. They hurry through the door into the living room. Heather breathes heavily, her back to the wall. Outside.
Let's draw next time, okay?
Simon steps back as a car pulls away from the sidewalk. He turns slowly, looking down the street, and walks through the gate. Heather sits on the stairs. Simon faces away from her.
What the fuck?
She drops her eyes.
Tonight?
Simon hangs an arm over the banister. He lifts his brows.
You had to do that tonight. I mean, I needed this to go well.
Heather keeps her eyes down.
And you knew that?
She glances up at him.
Fuck!
Heather flinches.
Call the exterminator in the morning.
The two hold each other's gaze. Simon's face hardens, and he walks out the front door. Heather stares blankly toward the door. Her eyes shift. She turns her head. She stands. Wasps cover the glass panel above the kitchen door as Heather approaches it. Their shadows dance across her face, illuminated by the kitchen light. Heather shuts her eyes. At her side, her hand rubs the worry stone. Heather opens her eyes to the swarming insects. She turns back along the hallway, picking up her phone from a small table. She types. A name tag reading Carla faces out from a dark gray apron. A phone lights up in the apron's breast pocket as items are scanned. An older woman opens her purse.
That's £39.40, thanks.
Autumn. It's my favorite time of year.
Helen!
Not too hot, not too cold.
Am I done yet?
After her.
How much was it again?
Oh, fuck's sake.
She snatches the woman's wallet and pulls out notes. She slams down coins in a receipt before standing and checking her phone. She pulls off the apron as she strides away. Carla walks out through a back loading bay. She lights a cigarette. She tosses the cigarette to the ground and turns, revealing a baby bump. She perches on a railing. She pulls her phone from the pocket of her puffer jacket. A message from Heather Foxfield reads, "It's been a long time, but if you meet me at the Architect Cafe tomorrow at 2 p.m., I'll make it worth your while." "I'll explain more then, Heather." Carla taps on another chat with Logan Bryant. "I can help, with bills and such, at least until you get on your feet." She types, "When are we meeting? Are you serious about helping us out with the rent?" Carla locks her phone and sags slightly. She stares blankly out across the dark lot. She looks down, an incoming call from David.
"Stop shouting. I'm coming, leaving now. Stop fucking shouting!"
at an apartment block. A security light flickers on as Carla enters. She climbs stairs.
What the fuck is going on in here then?
Carla sits on a couch, four children and a sleeping man around her.
Can I go out tonight?
Ask your dad.
He ain't my dad.
Don't start.
He's asleep.
Well then.
The teenage boy stands. Carla watches him disappear down a hall. She looks at her phone. A message from James End of Carlton Road reads, "Please come at 10 p.m. for 2 hours." Carla looks across at the sleeping man. She lifts a cushion and throws it at him.
Oi, I'm going out. I got work.
Later, Carla stands beneath a street lamp. Carla sucks in her cheeks as she shifts her weight. Headlights illuminate the street as a car drives slowly toward her. The man's silver watch and dress shirt show above the steering wheel as Carla walks to the passenger side. She turns to him. The blue car moves off down the wet road. The view lingers on the deserted residential street. Fade to black. The street remains empty. The car's headlights glare as it pulls back up to the curb. Carla gets out.
Right then, James.
She passes money from one hand to the other and stuffs it in her coat pocket. She tugs down her skirt. Carla clicks on her phone. She trudges up a path between a brick wall and a dark slope with trees. The shadows of trees roll over her. Carla stops to lean against the wall. Overlooking the lit-up city, Carla sits where Heather sat. She puts up her hood and wraps herself tightly with her coat. She counts the bills. As she puts the money away, she hesitates, her large eyes staring blankly. She sighs. She digs in her other pocket and brings out her phone. She refreshes the chats twice. Nothing from Logan. Carla's eyes grow heavy as she lowers the phone. She lifts her shining eyes as her jaw begins to tremble. Below her, a church tower is lit up in blue. Carla opens her phone again to the message from Heather. Carla breathes heavily as her eyes lift. She scrunches her nose and types. A message lights up Heather's phone. "Okay for tomorrow. See you there, Carla." Heather reads it in bed. In the dim glow of the screen, her eyes scan. She locks the phone and rolls over. Simon sleeps beside her. Cut to black. Facing a grand limestone hotel, two people sit under umbrellas on a terrace.
"You haven't changed a bit?"
Heather grins.
"I mean, other than..."
Carla nods.
"When are you due?"
"Couple of months."
"Wow.
Thanks. You have..."
"Sorry?"
"Changed."
"Oh God, I hope so."
"So what do you want then?"
How are you? How have you been since we last saw each other? I mean, I see the bits and bobs on your social, but you've had kids now, haven't you? Yeah, four. Pretty hard work, if I'm honest, but I love them in that. Mm. What about you? You got kids?
No. No, I'd like to, but no. Yeah.
Better hurry up.
I know.
Heather glances at the drinks as they're placed down. Carla sits forward and picks up a French press.
My old man wanted another, and I just told him to fuck off.
So what happened?
It just happened, I guess. Now he's all happy about it.
And you're not?
Well, he won't be the one getting up with it at night and changing nappies and such. Never helped with all that. He's traditional like that, I think. I don't mind, but I do mind, you know.
Well, I must say you seem pretty together for a mum nearly five.
But I have to be, don't I?
And where do you work now?
Cashier, supermarket.
Oh, yeah?
Whatever, it's fine. Look, why did you want to meet?
Heather looks down.
Yeah. Look, I know that we weren't exactly mates at school. Well, we actually were when I first moved here. In fact, you were my first friend, my only friend. I remember my accent used to be.
Carla stares across at her.
Anyway, yeah, after that, before we got to the stage where you were with Kerry and that lot, and I definitely wasn't your friend. Do you remember before? Like in year seven when we'd hang out after school?
Yeah, sort of.
Do you remember that one day after school with the pigeon?
In flashback, Carla swings the rock. As an adult, she shrugs her lips.
Nope.
Heather looks away and shuts her eyes.
Perhaps I should start at the beginning, I think.
Yeah, that would help.
A couple sits at the table beside them.
Do you know if there's anywhere more private that we could talk?
Well, I have to be at work in half an hour, so you can walk with me if you like.
Okay.
They stand. Carla grabs sugar packets.
Look, so I'm sorry if this is all a bit too much information. I appreciate that we haven't been in touch for years.
Get on with it.
Right. So my husband and I have been trying to conceive a baby for several years now.
Ain't sex working?
Well, no.
Is it him? It's usually the man.
No, we looked into it and it appears to be me.
You do know that there's only about 2 days when you're really ready, yeah?
Yeah, we've done all the timing. We've tried everything, I promise you. We also tried some IVF, but it's not working.
That's him.
Heather glares as Carla crosses the road.
I got pregnant first time every time I tried.
Well, that's wonderful for you that you found it so easy.
Do you want this one?
What? No.
Suit yourself.
Carla spins and marches away. Heather frowns and gapes. Carla strides along a curving terrace of grand houses.
Carla! Could you slow down?
Heather blocks her path. She glances toward two women nearby.
Nick, that's just it. I wanted to talk to you about something.
Heather leads her by the arm. They walk under an arch, and Carla shrugs her off.
Go on.
This is in the strictest confidence, all right? Please don't tell anyone.
Go on.
My husband, Simon, he's been emailing another woman.
Carla shakes her head and smirks.
Hold up. I ain't good at agony aunt shit, just so you know. I ain't gonna be much help, so if that's why you wanted to meet.
No. No, it isn't.
I'm not one for being nice in that. What's that word?
Empathizing.
Whatever. I'm not good at that.
Carla!
Heather jogs across the street.
It's been going on for 2 years.
You've let this carry on for two
Please.
Years?
Please.
Fuck's sake.
In the last week, he's emailed her to say that he wants them to finally meet.
Why is it taking them 2 years to meet?
She said she's overseas.
How do you know?
The emails.
Exactly.
Sorry?
I'm sorry, but I don't think you got much of a leg to stand on. You've been reading his emails for 2 years.
You should have said something when it started. He's gonna hold that against you.
I haven't been reading them. Well, I have, but not in the way that you think. I haven't been accessing his account.
But how do you know what he's been writing to her?
Because it's me.
Who's you?
The other woman. It's me. He's been emailing me.
You crafty little cunt.
I love it.
Heather follows her down narrow steps. At the bottom, Carlo waits for a car to pass.
I was paranoid that he was cheating on me. So a couple of years back, I created a fake profile and messaged him. I guess I was right to be paranoid because he messaged back.
Yes, he bloody did.
Probably shouldn't have let it go on so long, but he kept getting in touch, so...
I love it.
I'm not proud of myself.
Why not? I would be.
Well, it's like you said, I don't really have a leg to stand on.
Oh, fuck that. Honey trap, mate. You set a honey trap and you went for it. Everyone does it.
Everyone?
Yeah, the only way to make sure that your bloke isn't playing the field... Men are like this, see? And you have to catch them out, just to remind them that you're there sometimes.
I didn't think he was like that.
Well, of course he is. I never come across a man who isn't.
Cheating is a level of disrespect that's tantamount to violence. You know, it's acceptable to some and not to others.
Not to me, eh? My bloke lays one finger on me or my kids and he's out. What are you going on about?
I'm just saying, in my world, men respect women.
What's this world you keep on going on about? Is it different to mine?
No, of course not. I'm just saying that...
Just saying what? Because so far, all you've done is made me go out of my way to meet you, chatted shit about your stupid husband, and then basically insulted me.
Well, look, I'm sorry.
Actually, I'm done.
Carla turns and walks through the loading bay. Men work in a stockroom within. Heather turns slightly in the lot, then looks back toward Carla. Inside the store, she grabs a spray bottle. She grabs another at the next aisle. She glances backward as she adds something to her basket on the toiletry aisle. Carla sits behind the checkout facing away. A basket is set down.
Fuck's sake.
Look, just hear me out, okay? The pigeon.
What?
The pigeon in the field out the back of the school. Do you remember? It was you and me on our way home, and there was that pigeon with the broken wing.
What's a pigeon got to do with your husband?
What you did seemed to come so naturally to you.
That's £10.15, please.
I wanted to do this somewhere quiet.
Do what?
When do you finish?
Not for another 4 hours.
Can you take a break?
No. Look, whatever it is, just tell me.
Meet me at the loading bay.
I can't.
I don't care. Meet me there in 5 minutes.
No.
Look, I've got £10,000 in this bag, and it's yours. Find a way to leave. What?
Carla looks up at a new customer.
Till's closed, love. Go to the next one.
She stands. Carla strides out of the loading bay. She looks around before spotting Heather beside a stack of pallets across the lot. Heather beckons and begins to walk around the pallets. Carla follows.
Where the fuck is it, then? What the fuck have I bailed on work for?
I want you to kill Simon.
What?
I've got £10,000 in this bag, and there's another 40 once it's done. He's lied. He's cheated. He's hurt, he's emotionally and physically abused me. I don't just want him out of my life, I want him gone completely. And you're the only person I know who can do it. Kill him.
Carla smirks.
Kill Simon. I want him dead. You've done it before.
To a fucking pigeon. A pigeon? Are you mental? What's wrong with you?
£50,000.
Carla stares with her smirking lips parted.
You're thinking about it, aren't you?
No, look, I don't know who you think I am, but I'm not that, okay? You've made a mistake about this. I'm going.
It's a shitload of money.
Well, not really, actually. Not really.
Oh, come on, it is when you've got nothing.
Well, that would be none of your business.
Heather's expression softens.
He's been gambling again, hasn't he?
What?
Your bloke. What was it you said? That stupid cunt has lost our rent money again? You should be a bit more careful who you befriend on social media yourself.
Heather shows Logan's profile.
Logan is you.
He's fit, isn't he? And good with words.
Heather grins. Carla's shoulders rise and fall as she glares.
Look, I'm sorry. I know that you were hoping that he could beat your ticket out of this place, but look, that's why I'm here. I just needed to find out a bit more about you before making this proposition. I mean, for all I knew, you could have been loaded. I had to make sure my offer wouldn't be rejected.
Well, it will be. I can't do it.
£50,000 would help, wouldn't it?
Carla folds her arms.
Look at you pretending as if £50,000 isn't something you're desperate for.
I don't know who you think I am.
You need this.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
You got me wrong. Fuck you! You got me wrong!
She turns and storms away. Halfway across the lot, she stops. She stares blankly with her chest heaving before setting her mouth. Slowly, she turns back around. Heather remains where she was, smiling faintly.
$75,000.
Heather's smile expands lopsidedly. Cut to black. Sunlight slants across a bush with pink flowers. Heather bends down to take a cutting, which she adds to a bunch. Her eyes shift, and she looks over her shoulder. Ruby's head ducks behind a wall. Heather walks inside with the flowers. Glancing out the kitchen window, she places the flowers in a vase beside the sink. Ruby watches Heather from the next door yard. Heather hesitates as she turns with the vase, then walks away. Carla carries a mug through her cluttered apartment.
Oh, thanks, love.
You all right with the little ones?
Oh, yeah.
They're all fed?
Oh, we'll be fine, love.
I'll be back late.
Hmm. You at the supermarket, then?
No, not this evening. Something else.
Be careful, then.
Always.
Her balding partner watches her from a faded armchair. In the dark hallway, Carla grabs her coat. She pulls on gloves. Heather arranges snacks on a tea tray. She pours milk into a small jug. Carla walks a path along a river at the heart of the city. She suddenly slows and pulls up her hood. She keeps her head down as she passes two men drinking on a bench.
There, Carla.
Carla smirks.
All right, Tal.
Tal teeters as he stands.
Oh, God. Why don't you join us?
Not today, yeah. You right, yeah?
Yeah, can't complain.
No.
Yeah, later.
Later.
Carla's smile fades. Heather carries the tray into the immaculate living room. She catches sight of Heather standing at the gate outside. She crosses to the window. There is no one there. Heather digs in her pocket for the worry stone, which she rubs with both thumbs. She swallows. Turning, she marches into the hallway and through to the kitchen. She grabs a mug from the island and lifts out the tea bag. Carla looks in the window. She points toward the back door. Leaning forward, Heather peers out to where Ruby has left toys on the wall. She draws the curtains. Carla's outline shows through the glass of the door.
What are you doing out there? You shocked me.
Didn't want no one seeing me come in.
Oh, yeah. Good.
It's basic stuff.
Yeah, of course.
$75,000 ain't worth a jail term for murder. I'm not fucking this up. We need a proper plan. I ain't never done this before, not a human anyways. So we want to work it out properly. No amateur shit.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We do it properly.
Which means it won't be happening quickly.
Okay.
It means I want to scope out your place, work out timings, make sure nothing can go wrong.
You really do sound like you've done this before.
I've watched a lot of telly. I Googled it. Since we met, I've been researching. Carefully, mind. Not on my home computer. Don't have one. Went down the library, didn't I? So I know all the common mistakes people make. I ain't planning to make them.
What mistakes?
Like fingerprints. Wearing gloves, ain't I?
Oh, very good.
And I'm reckoning you have a dishwasher. I want you to make sure it's on the hottest wash you got when you clean it, okay?
Of course, yeah.
I ain't gonna be seen when I come here. That's why I came in at the back. And when we do it, we'll do it at night. We'll cover my face and make sure that I've got an alibi. I don't know. If it is nighttime, then my husband will say that I'm in bed with him, which wouldn't be lying for him, because that's what he'll think. Sleep so heavy, he wouldn't notice either way.
All right, okay.
And when I do it, I make sure that the weapon is from somewhere random and unconnected. and then I'll chuck it in with the recycling at the dump.
Great.
So I was thinking we make it look like a botched burglary. I've done a few house jobs before, and I know all the stuff needed to make it look like I'd broken in to steal. I'll take some stuff, you know, we'll call it collateral damage, and then it'll look more authentic that way.
Yeah, or I could make some stuff up so you don't actually have to physically take anything with you.
No, I want to take some stuff.
Well, what if you're caught with them?
I won't be. I'll sell it on. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'd really rather not lose any of my belongings.
What?
Well, I'm paying you an awful lot already. I'd rather we found an alternative.
You want me to kill your husband, and you're worried about losing your iPad and some bits of jewelry?
Carla's eyes narrow.
All right, well, if we can agree some not-so-important items, then.
You can lay out the things you don't mind going.
They sit down.
Can't believe we're talking about this.
Carla grabs one of the snacks.
I'm just not entirely convinced that this is the best idea. I mean, don't you think it's a bit cliché?
A what?
A botched burglary. It's a bit cliché, no? Don't they see through it?
You come up with something, then.
Carla sips from a mug.
Well, actually, I have.
Go on.
So, I cook him a lovely meal and slip something into his drink, which sedates him. And once he's out, I call you, and that's when you kill him.
Carla licks her lips.
And then what?
Well, then you get rid of him.
What? Like, dispose of him? In bags.
Heather nods.
Where would we do that? And also, the drugs in his system, if they find the body, they would detect that.
Heather's eyes shift, then widen.
Cut him up and put him in bags in the freezer and slowly thaw him out and feed him to a dog or something. I mean, have you got a dog?
Jesus.
Well, if it's eaten, it can't be discovered.
Fuck.
What?
You're fucked.
No, I'm just trying to be thorough. If you do a botched burglary, you could leave evidence. This way, we get rid of it all.
So you can drug him and cut up his body, but you can't do the killing yourself.
There's a world of difference between slipping a sedative into someone's drink and hacking them to death. And I wouldn't be doing the disposing. That's your job. That's why I'm paying you.
And how do you explain his disappearance?
His infidelity. You know, he's run away. I assume he's left the country. I'm a scorned woman, betrayed. He's the bad guy.
And when he doesn't turn up at all, don't you think they'd get suspicious?
I don't know. I'll burn his passport, make out that he packed a bag and properly went. I don't know. I mean,
it's all a bit far-fetched. And to be honest, it's violent.
Oh, and beating him to death isn't violent.
You were the one going on about not being that kind of person, and here you are coming up with the worst kind of nasty shit.
That's why I need you. I couldn't do any of this myself.
Heather gazes expectantly as Carla brings her lips back together.
Look, are you sure you want him actually dead?
Yes.
Not just exposed and chased off in some way?
No.
You want him properly, brutally murdered? Dead?
Yep.
Heather lifts her brows.
Okay, well, if it's to be me and not you to do it, then I want to do it my way.
Well, I just think it's a bit risky. I mean, what if he defends himself? What if he overpowers you?
Now, you're right about that. So, okay, here's what we do then. Some of your plan too. You drug him at dinner. Or better yet, get him good and drunk. Like, pass out drunk. Would that be possible?
Definitely.
And then when he's out for the count, you call me, I come over, and I do it with...
She lifts a glass lamp.
With...
No.
No, that's not right. You need something harder, like a poker or a candlestick or something.
A candelabra.
Miss Carla in the sitting room with a candlestick.
Carla searches behind an armchair. She lifts the thick book and swings it down upon an ottoman.
I mean, it would hurt, but I don't think it would knock him out.
Well, it is a very boring book.
What we got up here?
Carla stands on the armchair.
This!
Oh, he got that for some golf tournament where he was the only one in his category that turned up.
Yeah, perfect. So, I knock him out.
She swings the trophy.
Take some stuff. And then it looked like a burglary that went wrong because he was drunk and trying to play hero.
And I'll take a sleeping pill or two, and I'll wake up in the morning to discover him.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it. Go on, come in, like it's the next morning.
Heather turns in the hallway and saunters back inside.
Oh, my God.
My darling. Oh.
Yes. Yes. No, but do it by the window. Make sure the neighbours can see.
Okay. Help. Help.
Okay, quick. Now phone the police and report this horrible, tragic crime.
Heather jogs around the couch to grab her phone.
Oh, officer, I went to bed early after dinner and he was downstairs having a nightcap watching the telly.
And whoever it was knew exactly what they were doing.
Do I really sound like that?
Yeah.
Wow.
So what do you think then?
Yeah, I think it's good.
Only good? What do you think? It sounds fucking mint.
I'm just still a bit loath to lose too many of my belongings, you know?
Man, you've got to let that go.
Well, I may be getting rid of this man, but I'm doing everything I can to make sure that every other area of my life remains unaffected.
I'm not sure I can guarantee that. Things will change. You're going to have to get your story straight.
Yeah, I will.
No, I mean, like, really straight. They're going to question you a lot. It won't be easy.
I know. Do you? Yeah, of course I do. I'm not a complete innocent.
All right.
Look, I know you remember me as being a bit of a loser. I have lived a life since then, you know? I've done stuff. I'm not squeaky clean.
I'll take your word for it.
They hold each other's gaze.
Wow. It still works, doesn't it?
What does?
It's that thing that you do. It's your face, your whole demeanor. It makes you seem so powerful.
If you like.
God, it takes me back. I used to be terrified of you.
Carla stares blankly as Heather passes with the tea tray. She blinks. Setting the glass trophy down, Carla follows Heather into the kitchen. Heather looks up from the dishwasher.
You used to have such a presence at school. I mean, it was amazing, because you weren't that big. I mean, we were pretty much the same height, but I would never have tried to stand up to you. Never. It's the things you would say.
Look, I don't even remember talking to you after year eight, so whatever you think I did was probably someone else.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's all in the past now anyway, isn't it?
Yes. So can we get on with this now, please?
Yeah.
When do you want it done? I mean, I reckon I could get everything ready in a couple of weeks.
Gosh, 2 weeks.
I can't do any sooner.
No, of course not. I mean, 2 weeks is so imminent. I just assumed you'd want to wait until then.
The bump.
Might I ask how you plan on doing all of this with that? Because I'd imagine that it would get in the way.
Look, don't worry. I can do this. Just make sure you leave the back door open. Like, he's been outside for a fag and forgotten to lock up. I won't be climbing through windows or nothing.
And if he gets fighty?
He won't. I'll give him a good pounding on the head before he's even roused from his boozy sleep.
If all goes well.
It will. Look.
I'm only half joking, but I won't be paying for any special needs schooling down the line. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you loud and clear.
I'm just being practical and realistic. This is a business transaction. I don't want it turned into anything else. And actually, on that matter, if you ever think up the bright idea of trying to blackmail me for more money once this is all done, I'll have no hesitation in taking you straight to the police station. If that means I'm in prison too, then so be it. I won't go down without you.
Carla stares back at her.
Well done.
What?
Nice speech.
Fuck off.
I mean it. Got the makings of a real hard nut.
You got the makings of a patronizing bitch.
Well, then I guess we're a bit more like each other than we thought.
Carla wanders to the foot of the stairs. She looks up at the insects.
Whose are these? Yours or his?
His.
That is one nasty-looking spider.
Yeah, he didn't catch them himself. He got them off eBay. Framed in shit plastic and ready to hang.
What's this one?
Which one?
This one.
Tarantula hawk.
No, this winged thing.
Yeah, it's a wasp called tarantula hawk. Something he got a bit obsessed with after watching some documentary on TV.
Why tarantula?
Because it preys on them.
Gutsy.
It stings and paralyzes them, then takes them to its lair, where it plants an egg on it, which burrows into it and
grows, feeding off its insides, but avoiding all the major organs, so it's still alive.
The tarantula?
Yeah.
Heather's lips curl upward.
It needs it alive throughout its pupation.
The orange-winged insect.
And then once it's fully grown, it burrows out, and the spider dies.
Dark?
Yeah.
A bit like being pregnant.
Heather blinks.
What, being eaten from the inside out?
May as well be. Wouldn't it be nice if once they're grown, we mothers get to die and they have to head out and fend for themselves?
Is it really that bad?
Won't answer that.
Carla leans closer, taking in the long, thin stinger of the wasp.
Nasty sting.
Simon revels in telling dinner guests what it's like to be stung by one, even though he's never actually seen one alive.
What does it feel like?
Well, according to Simon, and therefore according to Google, it's 3 minutes of intense pain, whereby you can do absolutely nothing at all except scream.
Intense?
But once it's over, you're fine. Or at least better than before.
I kind of understand why Simon thinks they're cool.
I think they're vile.
Carla blinks.
Look, I want you to know that this isn't a decision I've made lightly. You know, he's lied and cheated. He's bullied me. He's made me feel like shit throughout most of our relationship. I'm fairly sure he treats the other women he sees just as badly. The world won't miss him.
Don't have to justify it to me. He's a nasty piece of work. You want him dead. I get it.
Carla squeezes past her and walks into the living room. Heather turns with her arms folded. She watches Carla lower onto the couch. Smiling, Heather sits beside her and crosses her legs.
This all feels very chummy, doesn't it?
What?
Us. I sort of feel like we're getting on like old times.
If you like.
It's funny, I didn't think we would. You know, we're so different.
Are we?
Yes. Yeah, we are.
Please yourself.
Carla faces directly ahead.
Do you know that I actually spent most of my teenage years quite severely depressed?
Didn't we all?
I genuinely spent the majority of my days in misery.
Okay.
Heather looks sidelong at her.
I just want you to know that.
You're saying it like it's my fault.
You don't think it's your fault?
No, fuck no. We were all fucked up. It was school. I mean, come on, everyone was horrible to everyone.
Not everyone.
Yes, everyone. I dealt with shit too. That was part of it. We all had to go through it. You're nothing special, Heather. Come on.
Carla paces.
Didn't I say sorry back then?
No.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry.
Heather looks up. Her large eyes glisten as they shift.
Two words 30 years after. Doesn't quite feel enough though, does it?
Well, I don't actually know what else I can do. You seem to think that something specific happened that was me. I don't know what that was, so come on. What was it I did?
Heather eyes her.
Really?
Yeah. Other than the normal shit that everyone did, you know, the name calling and the teasing and a fucking bit of a tussle. Other than that shit, what did I do that's made you so fucking bitter?
Year 7. That's where it all began. It was just after the pigeon. We were friends, and then one day, suddenly, we weren't.
Heather flashes an ironic smile.
Do you remember why?
In a flashback, Heather walks stiffly down a school's hallway.
Hey, Heather.
She faces up some stairs.
Come in.
A group of 3 girls and 3 boys stand watching her. 2 boys step forward with Carla.
Go on. Tell him.
What?
The whole school knows anyway.
What do you mean?
Everybody knows you fancied Toby, but...
Heather's mouth falls open. She glares.
Why don't you tell them what you told me?
But I...
Don't be shy. Go on. Tell him about what you do in the shower when you're thinking about him. Tell him.
Heather's brow creases.
I didn't do anything.
You told me you freak yourself off thinking about them.
I never...
You are such a dirty bitch. Dirty Heather.
Carla glances back.
Dirty Heather. Dirty Heather. Dirty Heather. Dirty Heather. Dirty
Heather. Heather pushes past her to climb more stairs. She runs, sobbing, down a hallway.
Dirty Heather.
Carla faces Heather.
That's what everyone called me after that.
I didn't come here to be fucking lectured, right? If you don't shut the fuck up, I'm leaving. And your plan to kill your husband, yeah? Your plan will be round town as fast as you can say dirty fucking Heather. So you shut your mouth.
No, you wouldn't do that. Because you need the money.
Nah, not this much, I don't. Fuck you and your stupid trip down memory lane. I ain't doing this no more. Yes, you fucking are! Because you owe me, and you know it. I owe you nothing.
Is that what you really think? Do you really believe that? Don't you remember what came after Toby?
I know what it is you're getting at. Don't worry, sweetheart. You thought you were so much better than me. You had your mum and your dad at your beck and call, anything you wanted. Schoolwork was easy, teacher pleaser, neat fucking uniform, goody fucking two shoes. And I'd been waiting to wipe that smile off your face for years. You didn't know. You didn't fucking know what my life had been like. And you judged me every day.
Heather's expression softens.
The day I killed the pigeon, you want to know what happened that morning? I watched my dad smack my mum so hard round the face that her eye popped out. Clean out of its socket. I watched her put it back in while I called the ambulance. That's just the kind of thing he did. Most days. And then pretty soon, it wasn't just mum, it was me as well. So when I used to go round yours and see what kind of life you had, at first it was like a fucking refuge for me. They were nice and stuff. I liked being there. It was all so calm. But then I started to realise that the more time I spent with you and your perfect sunshine family, the more my family looked like a black hole of shit. And then your face, when I killed the pigeon, you knew fuck all. You were still a child, and even though we were the same age, I was already an adult. I couldn't be your friend. You pissed me off. You didn't know anything. And even if I'd explained it to you right then and there, you still wouldn't have understood, would you?
No.
No. So there you go. Can I go now? Because I feel like this has reached its natural fucking end.
I knew about your dad.
Carla spins back around, her mouth a large O.
I'd seen your bruises.
Carla's chest heaves.
I also knew because Mum wouldn't let me go and stay at yours. And I'd wanted to know why. I didn't have anything I could say to make that better. But I thought if I could be your friend and we could do nice things together, then that's what I could do.
Carla blinks hard within a pale face.
You knew about my dad.
Their eyes lock.
Your Mum knew.
Yeah.
And she did nothing.
I don't know, do I? I mean, maybe she did. Maybe she called social services, or maybe she spoke to your mum. I was too young.
I was too young.
Yeah, well, so was I.
Carla's blue eyes linger on Heather. She lifts her chin.
You must have known it was coming.
Of course I did. I spent the weeks leading up to it in complete terror.
Heather flinches. She stands as an adult in the school, watching with apprehension the passing children. When she turns round, she is a child again. Facing directly ahead, she begins to walk with the other children. Carla emerges to one side and grips Heather's shoulder to turn her around. They exchange a look as they march to the empty far end of the hallway. Carla opens a door and they step inside. In the dim office, Heather's eyes shift. Carla pushes her backward and begins to beat her with both fists. She strikes the pigeon repeatedly, crushing it. Carla keeps punching. The pigeon's blood splatters her face. On the floor, Heather holds up her hands. She lowers her hands to her face, framing a bleeding nose. She covers her eyes. As an adult, she sits with her head bowed.
Well, that's school for you. Training ground for life.
We've been friends, Carla.
I didn't name you when they asked.
I knew you could have been expelled. Am I supposed to say thank you? Are we going to finish talking about the plan, or can I leave?
No. Let's finish.
Heather stands.
Right, so you're getting pissed. Call me. Leave the back door open. I come round. I bosh him. I take some stuff and leave. Sound about right?
I guess.
No, I guess. I want certainty. This has to go perfectly.
Of course.
Her back to Carla. Heather roots through a drawer.
When are we going to do the rest of the money?
When it's done.
No, I want half up front now.
Not possible.
Make it possible.
It's £65,000. My bank won't release that in cash just like that. Anyway, you've already had 10 grand. That should be enough to keep you going.
It's not about that, you idiot. You should be taking it out in smaller amounts gradually so they can't track it.
Really?
Yes, really. Fuck's sake.
Heather faces away as Carla staggers to her feet.
One other thing.
What?
I don't know what the fucker looks like. You don't seem to keep photos around the place of each other, do you? Just...
Carla sits on the couch.
Dead wasps and shit paintings. What's he look like?
Heather opens another drawer.
Heather, photo!
Heather turns slowly. She holds a photo frame over Carla's shoulder. Carla takes it. Carla looks more closely at it. The photo shows Simon and Heather smiling on the river path.
This is...
Heather's shadow passes over Carla. In the photo, Simon hugs Heather from behind.
I mean, this...
Carla blinks. She sinks back. She finds herself in the passenger seat of the car, still clutching the photo. She slowly turns to face Simon.
James.
Simon stares back. Heather reaches through the car window.
No, his name's Simon. James is a pseudonym. You must know that most men who visit prostitutes don't want to use their real name. Identification aside, I suppose it's also a means of separating their deed from their real lives.
Carla stares ashenly.
That's Simon. And he's my husband. As you know, he's been visiting you for a couple of years now. And crucially, quite heavily around 7 months ago. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Heather returns to the drawers.
I'm not sure your tea has completely taken effect yet.
I feel weird.
Apologies for what I'm about to do.
What are you about to do?
Heather covers Carla's nose with a cloth. Carla's legs flail as Heather's lips tighten. Carla's body relaxes. Cut to black. Outside, a spider climbs up the branch of a bush. The dark kitchen window faces back onto the yard. Inside, Heather sits at the kitchen island, scribbling something. Her posture is perfectly upright as she faces down. She puts the pen down and folds the sheet of paper. In the hallway, Heather sets her mug on a small table. She grabs her coat from a stand. She pulls on the long beige coat. Outside, she walks down the front path toward the street. She walks downhill to the neighboring house. Approaching a large black door, she pushes the folded page through a brass letterbox. Heather re-enters her home. She shakes off her coat and hangs it up. She kicks off her boots. Retrieving her mug from the table, she enters the living room. She trudges to an armchair that faces past the couch and sits, crossing one leg over the other. As she sips from the mug, she gazes over its rim at an opposing chair. A cable-tied arm comes into view. Moving upward, a gag of black nylon covers a mouth. Carla sits with her head slumped forward. Her eyes are closed. She tosses her head slightly. Heather lifts her face to watch. Carla settles again. Heather stands. She sets her mug to one side of the fireplace and takes a small bottle from the mantelpiece. She unscrews the cap. Leaning in, she shakes the bottle near Carla's nose. Carla recoils. Heather quickly sits and opens a magazine.
Don't knock yourself backwards, love. You'll smack your head.
Carla looks around.
You've had a proper little snooze. Do you feel a bit better now? I must say, it's been wonderful for me. You know, I've had a potter round, a tidy up. I like to imagine this is what life would be like with a young baby. You know, them taking their naps while I get on with the housework. Is that how it is? Happy scenes of domesticity?
They hold each other's gaze.
Is it more fraught mayhem as you try to keep on top of everything, including your sanity?
Heather closes the magazine.
It must be so hard. It must also be so worth it, you know? This creature.
Heather eyes her wedding ring.
This thing. Loving you. Needing you.
Carla's chest heaves.
I used to think there was something wrong with my body.
Heather sits forward.
I remember my mom saying to me that getting pregnant involved a whole lot of alchemy. But looking back on it now, I know exactly why it wasn't working.
Carla's brow pinches. Heather looks down.
Do you remember the Year 9 disco? I wasn't going to go. But by then I'd made friends with Ruth and that lot, and they encouraged me, I guess. I wasn't going to go. I mean, it was less than a year since you smashed my face in the storeroom. And I'm still suffering from panic attacks.
She stands quickly and drops the magazine.
So actually, the plan was I'd go for about 20 minutes, and then I'd call Mum and let her know if either I wanted picking up straight away, or if I was happy, I'd stay longer, because she weren't there. So I said to Mum, don't worry, pick me up at 10. And I went back to dancing with my friends.
She faces a dance floor where teenage girls pump their arms before a black stage decorated with silver stars. Young Heather grins as she circles her fists. Beyond the crowd, four girls enter the room. Young Carla sips a drink as she watches Heather.
But then you turned up with the others. And I immediately wished I wasn't there.
I want to go home. Why?
The friend looks across and shakes her head.
My friend's as terrified of you as I was.
The friend's eyes widen as she shakes her head again. Heather begins to walk, facing directly ahead as she passes Carla. Carla's eyes follow Heather as she pushes out of the doors. In a hallway, Heather hurries to a telephone. She lifts the receiver and begins to place coins into the top. Behind her, the doors to the hall open. Carla steps through. Heather looks up and begins to run. She tries doors as the lights flicker along the hallway. Carla descends stairs with her friends in tow. Heather slips through the door of the ladies' bathroom. Inside the dark tiled bathroom, she shuffles backward away from the door. She turns and hurries into one of the stalls, locking the door behind her. She sits on the toilet, hugging her legs against her chest. Heather's eyes shift in the darkness as she braces herself.
Open the door, Heather.
Heather stares at her knees.
We know you're there. We can wait all night.
Heather drops her legs. She stands and faces ahead with resolve. Slowly, she unlocks and peels the door open.
There were three of you. I don't remember the other two. They were just along for the ride, I guess.
Heather steps out as one of the girls closes in. In the living room, Heather stares off.
You said, take them off?
Young Heather's eyes shift between the girls.
And I did.
As the girls watch, Heather shuffles. Her underpants fall onto her high-top sneakers. She lifts her feet out of them. The girls stare blankly at her. Carla's gaze flicks downward.
Open your legs.
Heather's eyes shift.
Open your legs.
The girls shoot each other looks. The taller of them steps behind Heather and kicks her legs apart. The other grips her wrists. The taller girl holds Heather in a headlock. Heather stares up.
Went very quiet. And then...
Adult Heather swallows twice.
And then... Something went up. And in.
Young Heather blinks and winces.
I mean, not smoothly, not just like that. You had to really feel around, get it in there, shove it in. What was it? In and up.
The taller girl releases Heather from the headlock.
And then you all stood there, staring at me in the strange half-light of the toilets. And there was laughing. That's when you walked over to me, pulled the object out, and whispered something in my ear.
Young Heather stands with her eyes closed.
Good girl.
Adult Heather flinches.
Do you remember what you said?
Adult Carla stares with heavy eyes.
It was as if I'd performed well. As if I'd done exactly as you wanted. And I felt. You didn't do anything to me again after that.
Carla looks down.
It's as if you'd got what you wanted.
What had you got?
Heather looms over her.
I can't believe you didn't think what you did to me at school was bad. Had you forgotten? How could you have forgotten?
Heather strides away. Carla pokes her head forward to peer out the door. She watches Heather climb the stairs. Carla's eyes shift as she listens. Her eyes narrow. She looks up, then back down at her bound, gloved hands. The cable ties slide along the chair's wooden armrests. Carla looks down. Her ankles are also bound. She lifts the chair on one side to slip the tie off the chair leg. Her sneaker slips off. Carla freezes. Her eyes shift again. Rocking the chair again, she gets her leg free. She lifts the chair and hops. On the other side, the cable tie is blocked by a horizontal support. Carla shuffles forward. The chair knocks the table. Carla freezes. She continues to shuffle. The view leaves Carla.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, could you just text me when you're on your way, please? Thanks.
Upstairs, Heather emerges on the landing, now wearing a red velvet suit. She turns into the bathroom, where she picks up a small bag. Her chin lifted and her eyes down, she descends the stairs. steps slowly around the banister, turning towards the second of the doors to the living room. As her view peels around the doorframe, she sees the collar is gone. Heather pushes the door open. Carla lies on the floor tied to the chair. Heather strides around the heap of Carla, kicking a basket away. She lifts her by her shoulder. Carla's eyes flit as Heather walks back around her. Heather opens the drawer. She pulls out a fresh cable tie. Carla sits up as Heather refastens her ankle. Straightening, Heather reaches to touch Carla's baby bump. She caresses it. Heather stands. She perches on the arm of the couch.
So, I was talking about trying for a baby. I knew that I couldn't because of that night. I could feel what I would describe as a blockage. Do you get that? I feel blocked up. Like whatever it was you shoved inside me had some kind of fucking life to it and it's growing. Unlike a baby or a tumor. I've had the scans. There's nothing there. But for me, there really is. And recently, I've been trying to work out a way to release it.
She smiles faintly.
So what I'm going to do now is remove the gag from around your mouth. And this is your opportunity to speak. If you try to scream or shout, the gag will be replaced and you will not get the opportunity again. Do you understand? Nod if you do. I said, do you understand? I want to see a nod. Show me a fucking nod or I'll kill you right now.
Carla nods quickly.
Good.
Standing over her, Heather lowers the nylon.
Here we go.
She removes a ball of material. Hunched forward, Carla lifts her eyes to Heather. Heather perches on the couch again and folds her arms.
Do you have anything to say?
Are you going to kill me?
Next question.
Are you going to kill me?
Next question.
It won't help you. With whatever fucked up mental problem you have, you fucking insane ass psycho, all it will do is get you into prison and then you'll have more fucking problems than you do already. So take it from me, yeah? Don't fucking kill me. Don't fucking kill me, yeah? Because like I said, sorry. And I was. Like, really sorry. But I was fucked up myself. And I ain't excusing it because I know what I did was shit. But I mean, I wish I could go back and, like, not do it or something. But the thing is that I had stuff going on. You know, I had stuff going on, like I said before, and I am. I'm really, really sorry. And I just don't know what else to say. But please don't hurt me or my baby, please, yeah? Let me go home to my kids. Don't do this to them, please. Please don't punish the kids. They're innocent.
Gosh.
Don't hurt me.
This is a bit unexpected. I can't believe I've made Carla Jackson cry. Wow.
Look, you got what you wanted. Yeah? That you made me cry. I'm so sorry. I want to go now, please.
No.
Heather smiles.
No, that won't be possible.
Why?
Because I'm not done.
She stands and turns.
You want my child? You can have it. You can. As soon as it's born, I'll take the money. It's yours.
Heather watches her.
I'm not stupid. I know you've done the sums. You know. Is he in on it too?
Who?
Simon. I heard you talking to him before. He's got you to do his dirty work. You can't have a kid together, so get some slag to have one for you and steal it.
Heather smirks.
It's his kid, Heather. You know it. I know it. So if you want the fucking thing, it's yours.
That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would be neat.
Yes.
Not actually as simple as that, though.
Why? Because I can still feel it inside me. You know, I've been waiting for it to do something, like to dissipate, to burst.
I've been waiting so fucking long and nothing I'm doing is working.
Look, look. When we first met, you were talking about violence. This isn't you, Heather. This isn't you. This isn't your world.
Heather drops on the couch, facing away.
Why are you doing this? Huh?
Isn't this sad?
What?
Heather turns.
I used to really, really like you.
Carla hangs her head.
Like, I really thought we were best friends.
Carla looks away. Head tipped back, Heather grins.
Oh, God. I wish I could find some empathy from somewhere. Because I know that's what I'm supposed to do. And I get it. I'm a hypocrite. But, yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel I'm okay with that, though. So, here's the thing. What if I told you that Simon was dead already?
At the drawer.
What? Yeah, that I wasn't actually speaking to anyone on the phone earlier, and that I'd actually hacked him to death in a bit of a jealous rage, and he is currently stuffed in a cupboard under the stairs until I work out what to do with him. And what if I also told you that I was planning to use this knife to extract the baby from your stomach whilst you're still alive, so you can watch me take it from you and cradle it in my arms before you bled to death?
Carla stares with her hands raised. Heather backs up to perch on the couch with the chef's knife.
So what do you think? How do you feel about all of that?
I think you're fucking insane.
There's an impact to everything a person does. Like, even the simplest moment, even a single word can have an effect. I just wish we could all be nicer to each other.
Nice? You call this nice? This is nice? You're insane! You're in fucking hell! Let me go! Someone help me! Help me! Someone let me go! Help! Help! Someone!
In the next door garden, Ruby stands up.
Someone help me go! Help! Someone help me! Someone help me!
Heather wraps Carla's mouth with duct tape. Ruby hurries to the garden wall to look over. Heather stares at the seething Carla. Heather turns. She glances back at Carla before stepping to pick up her phone. Carla's shoulders rise and fall as she watches. Heather sets the phone down and takes the small bag from behind it. She closes the drawer which contained the knife. She unzips the bag on the table, taking out a makeup brush and a compact.
I've thought many times about how to solve this.
She applies powder.
And whatever it is inside me.
She stays focused on the mirror.
I really wanted it to be solved with something beautiful. You know? So much of me wanted to be able to get pregnant so that I could pour all my remaining love into a child. And it would, in some ways, create a new start. When I found out what Simon had been doing, and I realized it was you.
Heather unscrews mascara.
I think something really simple happened. My body emptied of any kind of joy, any kind of hope.
She adds eyeshadow.
And I found out what it was to hate.
Carla sits reflected in the mirror behind her.
I now know why so many people do the things that they do.
Uncapping a pencil, Heather looks back at Carla.
I hope you'll understand.
Returning to her reflection, Heather lines her eyes.
You see, there are choices we must make between kindness and cruelty.
She unscrews a lip gloss.
And unfortunately, there's something inside me telling me that kindness won't work. Not with you. Unless I've got that wrong. Have I got it wrong? Have I got you wrong?
Her chin lifted, Heather considers herself in the mirror. She walks back toward Carla and picks up the knife from the floor. Carla leans back. Heather grips a knife at her waist. Carla stares into her eyes. Heather crouches.
I'm trusting you not to run.
She cuts a cable tie.
I'm hoping you'll understand that what I'm doing is for all of us.
Carla's eyes widen as Heather cuts the final tie. Carla surges, pushing Heather aside. She darts to the front door, which is locked. She runs toward the kitchen, but Heather grabs her halfway, knocking her down some steps.
I don't want to hurt you, Carla!
Carla yanks off the duct tape and scrambles to her feet. Heather follows her into the kitchen, where she rattles the back door. Carla grabs a stool and raises it as Heather backsteps. Ruby sees them past the window. As Heather cowers, Carla drops the stool and makes for the stairs. Heather ambles to the foot of the stairs. Carla shuts Heather's bedroom door behind her. She hustles to the bay window, where she struggles with the window. She catches sight of the empty yard below. Carla's wet eyes shift. She peers down at the yard as her face constricts with crying. She sags against the window. Her shifting eyes settle. Heather watches from downstairs as Carla steps out onto the landing. Carla faces her from above.
I'm sorry your dad did what he did to you. Thank you. I'm sorry you had such a shitty upbringing. Thank you. I really wish things had been different.
Carla wanders to the top of the stairs.
Did you really kill Simon?
Heather drops her eyes.
I don't understand. You don't like violence, but you do it. You think it's wrong, but you do it. I don't get what it is I'm supposed to be learning. You hate revenge, but you're doing it. Why am I here? Do you feel better now?
Heather turns away.
Are you going to kill me and then feel better? Are you going to rip my baby from me and then feel better?
Heather leans on a doorframe as Carla sits on the stairs.
I may have been violent in the past, but I never planned anything out all detailed like this. Even when I was at my worst at school, I never thought about it this much. I don't know why I would do it. I mean, we're animals, right? My instincts kick in.
Heather's gaze wanders.
I'm not sure that your version all reasoned out or justified in your head is better than mine. I'm acting on impulse. You planned it.
Carla stands.
You've been talking about this thing inside you growing. I know what it is. Everyone has it. It's fucking disappointment. It's a massive fucking sense that everything life was supposed to be is never going to happen. And in fact, it's going to be worse than you ever imagined. I got it younger than you. And it's still there. You're no different to me. You're no different to anyone.
Shrugging her mouth, Heather shakes her head.
Not everyone feels like that.
Yeah, everyone does.
No.
No, it's a cycle. You know, you were hurt, so you hurt others. You don't get to be happy, so nobody else does. It's disgusting.
You're doing it too.
Am I? You don't think what you're doing is the same?
No.
Carla backs away from her.
Then you're more insane than I thought you were.
No.
Heather puts the knife down.
Look, see, I have nothing else now.
Carla glances at the knife on the coffee table.
I want you to think really carefully about what your instincts are telling you right now. I want you to think about your baby. I want you to think about your other children. I want you to make a decision based on everything that has happened, right back to when we were kids, right up to now. I have threatened you with death. I have told you I want to take your child from you. I have told you I've killed Simon, the father of your unborn child. I haven't done anything seriously violent towards you yet, but I have suggested to you that I will.
Carla's chest heaves.
I want you to listen to everything happening in your head and your heart right now.
Heather holds a hand inside her pocket.
Is it to be kindness or violence?
What have you got in your pocket?
Make your choice.
Is it another knife?
Make your choice.
What have you got in your pocket? Heather, I don't trust you. Show me your hand.
Heather closes in.
Show me your hand.
Carla lunges for the knife. She thrusts it into Heather's stomach. Heather's face trembles on Carla's shoulder. Her hand falls, dropping the worry stone. Carla stares down at it on the rug. She gapes.
Heather?
Carla stares. Heather's lips shudder into a smile.
You home?
Heather turns her mouth to Carla's ear.
Good girl.
Simon steps in. Carla drops the knife. Simon hurries to Heather on the floor. Carla's eyes bulge from her ashen face as Simon raises Heather. Simon's bloody hands lift to her head. Blood rolls from her mouth. The bedraggled Carla stares. She looks down, seeing at her feet the obliterated pigeon. She wears one sneaker as she clutches the rock. She turns to see young Heather running away through the woods.
Heather!
Spattered blood decorates young Carla's face.
Come back!
Young Carla, then adult Carla, drop to their knees. Simon cradles Heather's head in the twilight. He looks back at Carla.
What have you done?
Ruby peers through the window.
No.
Ruby.
No.
Simon lowers Heather.
No!
It's okay. Let's go.
No. She murdered my wife.
No! Stay back! We know what you've done! Stay back!
The woman tosses Heather's note at him. Simon bends to pick it up. It reads, "I don't know what to do. I think my husband and his mistress are going to try to kill me. Please help. Heather." Behind Simon, Carla stands at the open front door. Simon looks up. Blue and red lights flash across the face of the house. The neighbors step onto the opposite sidewalk as a police car pulls up. Simon turns to look back at Carla. Carla descends steps as the view moves past her and through the open front door. In the living room, Heather lies on her back on the rug, her red pierced blazer soaked with a deeper red. The whites show in her open eyes. At the knife slice in her blazer, a wasp crawls out from the hole in the fabric. It walks up the lapel toward her head. It climbs her jaw and comes to a stop on her cheek, silvered with the dusk. It flies away. Cut to Black, directed by Guillem Morales. Screenplay by Morgan Lloyd Malcolm. Based on the play by Morgan Lloyd Malcolm. Naomi Harris. Natalie Dormer. And Dominic Allburn. Produced by Maxime Cotray and Nate Bulletin. Produced by Sean Sorensen, Matthew B. Schmidt. Produced by Leonora Darby, James Harris. Executive producers, Nick Spicer, Aram Tertzakian. Executive producers, Naomi Harris, Natalie Dormer. Executive producers, Ali Jazzietti, David Gendron. Executive producers, Mark Lane, Dean Buchanan. Executive producers, Jordan Fields, Julia Dansker-Parrington. Co-executive producers, Willem Osland, Sefton Fincham. Universal Pictures and XYZ present a Royal Viking production in Paradise City production, a T-Shop production, in association with IPR VC, a film by Guillem Morales, The Wasp. Director of Photography, John Sorapure. Editor, Joe Randall Cutler, Ryan Morrison. Casting Director, Colin Jones. Production Designer, Elizabeth L. Kadhi. Music by Adam Janota Zowski. Credits continue. Audio description created by Zoo Digital. Written by Will Loxley and narrated by William Marshall Klein.